You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary, modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. Thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Thursday to you. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday with me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're in the book of Revelation and we're in chapter 19 momentarily. First off, I invite you guys to church this weekend. If you are new to the area and if you like this program, WGOD, this is the radio program brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive, right here in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. My sermon this week is entitled The Winning Mindset. How did these saints of old, how did they get through some of these terrible struggles and trials that they had? That's what we're going to look at. What did these Christians of old have that apparently we don't have? Launching point is Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, where the Lord Jesus talks about someone named Antipas, who he called his faithful martyr. Now, as history has it, Antipas was burned alive in a bronze kettle. And I got to be thinking and wondering, could I do that? And what did he have that I don't have? Or else the old saint, his name was Polycarp. When they tried to force him to deny Christ, he said famously, 86 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. And you know, could I say that? Could you say that? That's what we're going to look at here this Sunday morning, the winning mindset. What did these guys have that perhaps you and I don't have, and how can we obtain what they had so we too could be as cool and as calm as that and be filled with the trust in God that these guys had? We say that we have it, and the fires of adversity will reveal these things to us. And let me say to you today on this Thursday that that's why God makes your life difficult here today, because he's building up in you what you need to persevere trials like that. So that's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. You are invited once again. It's Island Community Church. Look for the video on YouTube by 2 in the afternoon on Sunday, maybe 3 in the afternoon, and you'll hear that here on the radio here coming up. In the meantime, we're in Revelation chapter 19. We're going to look at the return of the Lord here today. But let's pick it up, because it's been a week since we've been here. Let's pick it up from the top. Now, after this, well, after what? Well, that would be the destruction of Babylon. After this, I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Again they said, Hallelujah, hallelujah. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. So I take it from this that Babylon, this mystery Babylon, this city, is going to be unkind to Christians. And notice there's still Christians around at this time as well, probably Jewish Christians. Babylon's destruction will be final. She will never rise again. Verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures, or the four living beings, they fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen and Hallelujah. Now, we haven't seen these guys since way back. I think it was chapter 4 and 5 and 6, when they were in the throne room. Now, after all this, here comes what I like to call God's bodyguards again. These four awesome beings that surround his throne. Verse 4, the 24 elders and the four living beings, they fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. That's another proper name for God, Pantokrator. Kratos means power and might. Panta means all. So it's all powerful. We call that omnipotent as well. Hence, reason it's translated that way. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Pantokrator. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Well, that would be you and I, the bride of Christ, as we're known as. We read a parable in Matthew chapter 25, where the Lord gives the parable of what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like him. It's like a bridegroom going away for a long time on a long journey. And he's going to come back unexpectedly, and those that are ready will go in with him to the feast, and those that aren't ready, and the Bible says the door is going to be shut. Verse 8, now to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Wow, look at this verse here. Your clothing, or let's say the thread count in your clothing, is going to be dependent on what you were doing out here today for the Son of God to advance his kingdom. Because remember, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one will give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or bad. The thread count of your clothing is going to be dependent on what you are doing here for the Lord Jesus Christ. Reminds me of another parable, also in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, where the Lord's given his stuff, talents. 75 pounds, it meant back then, of no matter what it was, gold, silver. We have a double meaning for that, a talent you've gotten from the Lord, or a talent is money. God's given you his stuff. He's gone away again on a long journey, and he says, you make do with what you have until I come back. And when I come back, we're going to take inventory and see what you've done. Now, the fine linen, that's your clothes, what you are going to be wearing after you die and leave this world, or after he's come back for you and has taken you away into heaven, because we will all be there for this marriage supper of the Lamb. The fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So let me probe a little bit here today. What are you doing today for Jesus Christ? Your clothes will depend on it. Your thread count, the quality of your clothes, the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed, here's another beatitude. There's seven of them in the book of Revelation. Here's another one, 19:9. Blessed are those who were called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So if you're not called, then obviously you're not invited, because this banquet is by invitation only. Blessed are the called. Blessed are those that are called to this banquet, the Bible says. And yet Jesus says many are called, but few are chosen. Now let's move on here to verse 10. I fell at his feet to worship him. Well, this would be the feet of an angel. Take a look at what angels think of people who worship them or who pay them too much attention. Look at the response from this angel. And not only that, look how easy it is for this to happen. John, he hasn't left heaven. He's got the Lord Jesus right there near him. And here he is bowing down to an angel. Look at how easy it is to fall victim to this, to worship an angel here like this. So it says, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that! Exclamation point. All right, this angel is upset. Angels are upset if you give them any inordinate affection and worship angels. That is an abomination to angels. He's going to tell you who you should worship right here. He says, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Great verse, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. One of the most important verses in all the Bible. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. 31% of the Bible I've read is prophetic. Why Bible prophecy? Why speak and reveal things before they happen? Answer, so that you would believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the reason. It's all about him. This is why there's prophecy in the Bible. All of this is spoken and all of this is written down so that you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God. This is why Bible prophecy should be used in evangelism. The Bible is flawless in predicting not only the future, but it's flawless in predicting your future as well. This is why there's prophecy in the Bible. This is why God has revealed to you things before they happen, so that you would believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why this angel just told John, don't worship me. Worship Jesus, the testimony of worship God. Now, Jesus is God, triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The angel said to him, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. Verse 11, and look out, world. Now I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called Hologos to Theou, that is, the Word of God. Praise God! Finally, after all these years, Jesus is coming back. So first up, John calls the Son of God faithful. He's been faithful to you, hasn't he? And he will continue to be faithful all the days of your life. Faithful. Notice, too, it's a capital F. He's faithful with a capital F. A proper name for the Son of God is Faithful. And Jesus is true. That's a capital T. There's another proper name for Jesus. True. He is true. Like Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. With so many counterfeits out here in the world today, we can rest assured that the Son of God is the genuine, the real McCoy, the real deal. He's true. He's true with a capital T. His words are truth. Everything that he says is truth. I've heard of people who've memorized every red letter in the Bible because every word that he spoke is worthy of study and a lifetime of study, or 10 lifetimes of studies, or 100 lifetimes of studies. Also, we see here the name for the Son of the Word of God. Like we read in John chapter 1, verse 1, this is a favorite name for Jesus by John the Apostle, the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Greek word logos. Logos, what to Greeks meant the intelligence that created the universe. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And finally here, after all these years, finally, here comes the return of the Son of God. Chapter 19, verse 12, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, the Logos. Next up, the text says, his eyes were like a flame of fire. You see, when he comes back again, he won't be spit on. He won't be at the mercy of others anymore. He won't be killed. They won't pull his beard out anymore. He won't be ridiculed, beat up, or tortured. He won't be abused. He won't be mocked anymore. He's coming back next time to kick demonic fanny. Here's how the Apostle Paul put it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. He says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day, capital D, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. And that day here, church, has finally arrived. Verse 14, now his armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, so that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that same mouth that declares, peace, be still, out of the same mouth that declares to a little girl, I say to you, arise, that same mouth will say to these people here at this time, drop dead, or you're toast. He rang your cell phone for 40 years. Instead of a bill collector, he's a soul collector here, and it is time here to pay the debtor. You're sending the caller, I like to use this proverbial, this example we all can understand. What do you do when God calls you? It's like what happens when someone calls you on your cell phone. One of the things that you do, someone, an unwanted call or a bill collector, you see, you send them the voicemail. Now, sending someone to voicemail, sending the caller to voicemail, doesn't pay the debt that you owe. However, I've got some good news here for you today on this Thursday. And that is, Jesus paid the debt that you owe. And if you're willing to receive him and bow the knee and submit to him as Lord and call on his name, then you'll be returning with him. Look, you will either be returning with him or he's coming back for you, not to save you. He's calling you today to save you. You see, once you see Jesus, it's too late. You have a choice here today on this Thursday. You can either come back with him or he's going to come back for you. What is your choice here today? We're in this valley of decision here today. You're either coming back with him or he's coming back for you. And I just read to you how that's going to look like when he comes back. In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who, first of all, on those that don't know God. You see, your chance to know God is today. He says, all day long, I've stretched out my arms to a disobedient and obstinate people. Today is the day to know God. And he's going to inflict vengeance on those that don't obey the gospel. You obey the gospel by doing what he says. Repent and believe the gospel is the first words he said in the gospel of Mark. You believe the gospel by receiving him, receiving God's son, calling on the name of the Lord. All those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You obey the gospel by believing and accepting the fact that you are a sinner. You believe the gospel by believing when Jesus says, I am the door, all who enter in by me will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. You are either coming back with him or he is coming back for you. Verse 17, Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, "Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great." Verse 19, "And I saw the beast," remember that's the Antichrist, "I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured," Greek word piazzo, it means to arrest someone. This is a person. It's not an entity. It's not a country. The Antichrist is not a world system. It's a person. Here, he's arrested. "Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and of those who worshipped his image or icon. These two," that's the T-W-O, "these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." So here's a trivia question here today. Who are the first two residents of the lake of fire? Here's your answer right here. The man of sin, whom John calls the Antichrist, the Apostle Paul calls the man of sin, the son of perdition. And the second resident, the false prophet. Verse 20 again tells us he is apprehended. So here's your proof text that these are individuals and not countries or if some other wild interpretation. The beast was apprehended, and with him the false prophet was apprehended, who worked the signs in his presence. Notice too that all those who received the mark of the beast were deceived into taking it. Key text. Everyone who receives the mark of the beast at the end of the age are deceived into taking it. Maybe the same way that you and I, well, some of us were deceived by the government here a few years back when they told you that if you take this vaccine, you will never get COVID. So you got the government or those that are in authority telling you something, you believe them at it and you do it, you do what they say, and look what's happened as a result. You know, I think that this COVID was a test run to see how we're going to do here at this, at the time coming when the government's going to force you to do something here at the end of the age. But instead of one government, it's a one world government, and they're going to force you to take this mark in order to buy or sell. Now, the Bible says everyone who did that here was deceived. Remember, to be deceived is to think that something is something while something is actually something else. Those that take the mark are deceived. They think that this is what they need to do in order to buy or sell. But Jesus says, see, I've got something better for you. He said, for everyone who perseveres out there, I will give to them some of the hidden manna to eat. You see, trust God, believe him at his word, lean not on your own understanding. Don't take the mark of the end of the age. Don't listen to the government's plan on what you need to do in order to buy or sell. Listen to Jesus' plan. We'll wrap it up there for today. We will be back tomorrow's program. We will be in chapter 20. We're rapidly working through the book of Revelation. We'll be done here soon. We're in Revelation chapter 20 in our next program. You are listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I believe in God.
Jesus said that one of the signs of the climax of history would be the distress of nations with perplexity.
Wow, we see that every day, don't we? People and nations who are perplexed and distressed. So what's the answer? Billy Graham knew.
I'm convinced beyond doubt that the only hope for this world is the coming again of Jesus Christ. There is no other answer except the return of Jesus Christ.
So as followers of Jesus, what do we do until then?
Till that glorious moment, our job is to shine as lights. We are to be the salt of the earth, and we are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
We can help you discover how to share your faith with others at goingfarther.net. Click where it says Basics of Christianity. That's goingfarther.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
If sinners are left to themselves to believe, by what power do they do it? If God does not make them willing and God does not make them able, where does the power come and where does the will come from?
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson.
What is already dead when its life begins? The answer is your soul. Every person comes into this world, well, as a spiritual corpse. So how does a lifeless soul, dead in trespasses and sins, suddenly come to life? Can a spiritual corpse bring itself to life? Is there something Christians can do for unbelievers to trigger their spiritual regeneration? Consider those questions today as we continue John MacArthur's study called The Doctrines of Grace. But before the lesson, I have a letter here from a listener who wanted to express his gratitude for the ministry of grace to you and his life. Here is what Chuck told us. He says, "With the help of Pastor John, I adopted an entirely new theological framework. It all started when I listened to Pastor John's series on the doctrines of grace during a 13-hour road trip from Colorado to Southern California. I was totally convinced that these doctrines are what the Bible teaches. I realized that my theology had been off course, and Pastor John helped set me in line with the scriptures. I have a special needs son, and through John's sermons, books, and radio series, I now have an accurate